As we come to the word of the Lord today, our readings are from the book of Luke, chapter 1. We're going to read verses from chapter 2. So if you put my PowerPoint, please. In this morning, I would like to reflect upon miracles, the miracles of Christmas. And then we're going to be reading a few verses from chapter 1 and chapter 2. I want to start reading some verses from chapter 2. One of the miracles, the shepherds, my favorites. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. Let me read before we pray. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the time of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Let us pray. Lord, as we come to read your word, we pray that may your Holy Spirit help us to understand a little bit more of you. And Father, we pray that we will be focused the next half an hour so we will be able to receive your word, your message, your blessing, because we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Every single gospel is unique. They witness the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Luke's gospel is perhaps the easiest of the four gospels to read and understand because it goes like in chronological order. But Luke wrote to reveal the universality of Christianity. The nature of Luke's witness concerns the all-inclusive love of God. This is emphasized in the words of the angels. That's the reason why I wanted to start reading chapter 2, verse 10. Shall we read it together? "But the angels said to them,
'Do not be afraid.
The nature of this witness concerning the all-inclusive love of God is here. The last three words of the angels, of the angelic announcement, they are not by chance. They are not accidental. They are there to proclaim that the Savior is concerned for all people. All people. Christmas will cause joy for all people. As Christians, we celebrate Christmas as the birth of Jesus, the promised Messiah. Jesus came to bring hope. Jesus came to bring forgiveness of sins. Jesus came to change our hearts. That is what Jesus came to do, this miracle in our lives. And today is about the miracles of Christmas. Because for me, when a person changes his heart, when God changed my heart, it's a miracle. And when we talk about changing heart, we are not talking about physical heart. We are talking about a spiritual heart. That is the difference. When our spiritual heart change, it changes our will. It changes our being. It changes our person. It's not about religion. And maybe, you know, now heart transplants are more increasingly more common today. Maybe you know this, but Dr. Chris Barnard performs the world's first human heart transplant in 1967 in South Africa. He was a doctor, a South African doctor. And he transplanted a human heart for the very first time, the December 3rd, 1967. And to the patient was Dr. Philip Blyber. And after the surgery, Dr. Barnard and Dr. Blyber sat on the bed. And you know what he did, Dr. Chris Barnard? He carried in a plastic box to show the patient the dead heart. So he was carrying, can you imagine this guy carrying this? And he goes, that's what he says here. And now to show it to his patient. So the two doctors, because they too were doctors, the two physicians sat in the hospital examining the scarf and the thickening of a dead, useless heart of Dr. Philip Blyber. And now Dr. Chris Barnard said, you know, Dr. Blyber, do you realize that you are the first man in the history of humankind to sit and look at your own dead heart? Well, actually, that was true, isn't it? Dr. Philip Blyber received a physical heart that extended his life. When Jesus, the miracle of Christmas, is real in our lives, he changed our spiritual heart for eternity. For eternity, my friends. When we understand the true meanings of Christmas, it brings about a change in our hearts, in our lives. You know, all of us, you have favorite movies for Christmas. Or do you? You know, sometimes don't talk about in the past. You talk about movies. So. Well, okay. And my favorite is A Wonderful Life. I see it every year. My children, I think, are fed up with me because. But they like this one. Do you know which one is that? That's it. And there is a character there, isn't it? Who is it? Scrooge. And I love it, you know, because Scrooge is a selfish man, a very horrible person, but he changed when he has an encounter with the ghost of Christmas. And Scrooge sees his empty, bitter life for what it is, and he changed. He changed. And then he says something that I like. I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. And now Scrooge changed from being a grasping and selfish into a person who was giving. It's lovely to see the last part of the movie, you know. And then instead of being bitter, he's now loving. Instead of being indifferent to the needs of others, now he's caring. Scrooge's life is transformed from miserable, or what is the word? Humbug. Into hallelujah. He's saying that it changed. What changed? His heart. That is what Jesus does. Some people don't like it. You know, when our Lord Jesus, the creator of the universe, came, divided history, you know, AD, BC. Nowadays, they don't want to talk about that. They said, no, don't put that. It's politically incorrect. Yeah, that's not politically correct to put that. That's the reality. But Jesus came and changed history. AD, BC. People surrounding the birth of Jesus experience transformation. And this morning, I want to talk very briefly about, that's the reason why I told you, we're going to read from Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. And we can learn some principles to live because we are going to be checking the miracles of Christmas. And the first miracle, okay, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to be reading some verses from 11 to 25. And it's from Zechariah and Elizabeth, these two characters. You know, Zechariah and Elizabeth says the first principle here is don't give up on prayer. Shall we say it together? Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on prayer. Now, here, Zechariah is a priest and his wife Elizabeth. I preached about that 2 years ago here. But they were faithful followers of the Lord. They have been praying because in those days, if you have children, that was a blessing. So if you have two, you were blessed. Three, more blessed. So they have been praying and praying. Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth were older and beyond childbearing. down through the year they have been praying. I cannot imagine, you know, I can't imagine Zechariah looking up his wife getting older and older, and they keep on praying, praying. And perhaps they were saying, well, maybe that's not God's will for our life. Why doesn't God hear our prayers? Don't give up on prayer. Luke chapter 11 to 25, you can read it, but we don't have time to read all, but we're going to read some verses. Give the story that God did hear their prayer. When Zechariah carried on doing what he was doing, he was a priest, he was serving in the temple, an angel came and says, do not be afraid, Zechariah. What? Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. It's interesting. Sometimes we pray for something, and when the miracle comes, what happens? Is that that's not possible. My wife is very old. People are going to laugh at her, you know, or something like, he said, no, I cannot believe it. He had been praying. God has answered the prayer. And the angel says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you to tell you this good news. And after 9 months, Elizabeth did have a baby. They named their son John. And that was a family. Can you imagine this family walking in their village? They have been praying. But God did not only answer their prayer. He provided a miracle boy. A miracle. John, the one who was going to prepare the way of the Lord. Now, the principal one of those involved in the Christmas stories, don't give up praying, saying God does answer prayer. Do you believe that? God does answer prayer. It may be yes and maybe not. Maybe wait. For in their case was wait. Wait. Zechariah and Elizabeth reached the end of themselves before God answered their prayer. But my friends, as we reflect upon our thoughts, let me tell you something. As I said before, the greatest miracle of Christmas is when we come to know Jesus and he changed our hearts and he makes us new. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. He can change our heart. God can change our hearts and our lives. I don't know if you have heard the story, or maybe you have heard the story of John D. Rockefeller. And this person, I heard his story when I was very, you know, small. And in his story, this is a man who used to go to church. They were members of a Baptist church in the north of the United States, and they were, he was going. But he wanted just to make money, and he did it. At the age of 33, he earned his first $1 million. At the age of 43, he controlled the biggest company in the world. At the age of 53, he was the richest man on earth, the world's only billionaire. He did well, listen. And he was coming. Now, 53, and he developed a disease, alopecia, that caused all his hair to fall out, his eyelashes and his eyebrows disappear. He was just skin and bones. He was earning $1 million per week. That's a good salary, isn't it? That was what that he was earning. But he only, this is very interesting, you know, he was earning all that money, but he could digest only milk and crackers because of his condition. He was hated in Pennsylvania. He was unable to go around the corner. He had to be with bodyguards because people wanted to kill him. They hated him. Maybe like Scrooge. He did not sleep. He was miserable. He did not enjoy anything in his life. You know, the doctors predicted that he had 1 year to live. And one newspaper had written his obituary in advance in case of his sudden death. So they were able to put it on the front page. Then one sleepless night, John D. Rockefeller came to know and meet the Lord Jesus. And he changed his heart. And he realized that money was not everything, that he was unable to take any penny with him. And he started to help churches. And he, you know, this person changed. He began to help churches with his amassed wealth and established the Rockefeller Foundation. You know, one of the things he did is in every capital in South America, he gave the money to build the Central Baptist Church. In Quito, Ecuador, he gave the money for that beautiful building. Not only that, he gave money for research. People were able to discover penicillin because of the Rockefeller Foundation. Then he was able to sleep. Then he was able to smile. Then he was able to live a new life. God can change hearts, my friends. But we are not to give up on prayer. We are not to give up on prayer. Now let's read the second principle here, and it's from another story. It's about faith. The second principle is that build your life on the foundation of faith. Shall we read it together? Build your life. The first one is prayer. The second one is build your life on the foundation of faith, and it's the story of Mary and Joseph, again in Luke chapter 1. Let's continue reading Luke chapter 1. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 30. Yes. But the angel said to her, to Mary, the same words, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Like Zachariah, "It cannot be possible," Mary says. "It never happened. I am a virgin." The angel Gabriel assured her that with God, nothing is impossible. I love those words. With God, nothing is impossible. Shall we say it together? With God, nothing is impossible. God will give her a baby sent from God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Her son will be the incarnate Son of God. 100% human, 100% God. I don't know how it works. With God, everything is possible. And then he says, he will take upon himself the sins of the world and defeat the powers of Satan. He will deal with the main problem of humanity. Sometimes we hear, you know, it's wonderful to have with people try to check about what to do to help people. You know what is the main problem of humanity? Sin. So Christmas is about a savior, not about just the turkey and the tinsel and the meat. It's about this. So the angel is saying this to Mary. You know, Mary is, wow, what is going on? And this is her reply. She says, verse 38, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." She responded with faith. Faith. Mary didn't believe that she was worthy of such honor, but because she was humble and faithful, she was worthy. She said, "I don't know how this is possible, but may it be as you have said." God can change your heart. God can change your life. God can change your family. God can change your circumstances. God can change this country. From time to time, we need to join with Mary in singing, "Believe, believe, believe." And God took his chance with Mary and Joseph, and they came through. They accepted God's mission. You know, and now when I start thinking about Joseph have to have faith. This is a young man, and his faith was tested by the events preceding Jesus' birth. He was engaged to this young woman, Mary, and then, you know, that's not nice that he's engaged, and suddenly they say he learned that before their marriage he was carrying a child. Let's be honest. That's tough. His integrity is revealed in his obedience to God's will upon being told by the angels about Mary's conception, that baby was the Son of the living God. And now Joseph believed in Mary's love, and he returned that love. He believed in her integrity, and he put his reputation in honor on the line as he came to her side. With God, everything is possible. Faith. Transformation can happen. My friend, God believes in you. God believes in me and us. The coming of Jesus Christ proved that. God believes that you are so beautiful. You maybe you think that I am not worthy of this, like Mary. God wants you to do something beautiful for him. Don't ask why. Just believe. Now, the third principle, this is what we were reading this morning. Let's come to Luke chapter 2. Let's read about the other character. We read about Zachariah, Elizabeth, Joseph, and Mary. Now, let's see the shepherds. And then we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 12, that the angel come when they were doing their own business. It says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all people. What is that great news? That today in the time of David, the Savior of the world has been born. And now he told them the news, and he says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. When the angels have left them and gone into the heavens, the shepherds say to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they tried to make sure it was truth. And then verse 20 said, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they have heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. My friend, the shepherds have a transformation. They experience a transformation in their lives. And only we can understand this if we really place ourselves in their place. Zachariah is a priest. Mary and Joseph, they are humble people. The shepherds, who are the shepherds? Well, have you heard this song? Nothing ever happens to a shepherd. Have you? Yeah? No? Okay, that's good. So I can show you that song. I'm not going to sing it, you know. But listen to the words of this, describes a shepherd, and I like it. He said, this is a shepherd. Like the song speaks about one shepherd, the second and fourth shepherds singing. And they said, it's called out tonight in this God-forsaken place, and we are stuck here with 1,000 sheep. While life is exciting everywhere else, the highlight of our day is sleep. Shepherds are notorious for making little profits. We garner just enough for room and board, while everyone else wallows in their wealth. We are financially ignored. It's lonely up here in this isolated job. Our position is without esteem. We are socially challenged. We are society's scourge. We are not exactly every woman's dream. Shepherds have a humble purpose. Of our faith, few people really care. Sometimes I wonder if God knows we exist. If he does, I'm certain he's forgotten where. Nothing ever happens to a shepherd. Life is as boring can be. While exciting things occur all over the world, nothing ever happens to me. Nothing ever happens to me. Back then, no one thought that God would be interested in shepherds. Now, it's interesting. Shepherds were not religious. Shepherds have to look after the sheep 24/7, so they were unable to keep the Sabbath. So they were excluded from the synagogue. And then the shepherds as well, but they were smelly. Rabbis ranked them on the same level with prostitutes and habitual sinners. Shepherds were outcasts and not included in polite society. That's tough, isn't it? Nothing ever happened to me. Do you feel sometimes like that? We feel that life seems to be funny to other people, but not to us. Well, those were their circumstances. Those were the shepherd's circumstances. And surrounded the shepherd's life. In our Experiencing God study this month, we were reading about that sometimes we pray 1 week for something. Keep on praying. 1 month, 2 months, 1 year, 2 years. And nothing happened. And we experience God, what? The silences of God. And it looked as if God is not listening. And then something we learn is that sometimes God is ready to bring into our life a greater revelation. God is preparing us for the next level. Hence his silence. Keep on praying. Keep on trusting. Because God is preparing something beautiful. Henry Blackaby says, never determine the truth of a situation only by looking at the circumstances. We don't know. We never know why God allows us to experience hardship and loss. But we do know that God has a plan. I believe that. Do you believe that? That when you sense that God is silent, he is preparing for you something wonderful and greater. Keep on praying. Keep on trusting. That evening, the angel appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around. Then the shepherds were terrified. And the angel says, shall we read it together? But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all people. My friends, do not be afraid. The angel goes to Zacharias, do not be afraid. Goes to Mary and Joseph, do not be afraid. Goes to the shepherd, do not. He comes to you and says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And they went to see the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in the manger. And suddenly a company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests. The shepherds found the baby, and you know, and after that, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they have heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds were transformed again from being miserable, from being humbug, into hallelujah. The shepherds, Zachariah. Nothing ever happened to me. Praise is the dominant feature in many parts of the Bible. And here in the story, the angels praise, the shepherds praise. Later, when the baby is brought to the temple, they praise. Praise is to ascribe honor. Praise is to ascribe power, worthiness, and glory to someone. You know, praise helps us to evaluate our priorities. This Christmas, keep on praying. This Christmas, keep on trusting. This Christmas, keep on praising the Lord. Come tonight to praise the Lord. We need you. Sing. Praise help us to evaluate our priorities. If no praise to God flows from our heart, that means that our relationship with God is shallow. But when, whatever our circumstances, we praise the Lord, it shows that he is so precious to me and to you. David gave us this example. You know, the King David, he was not some. Oh, I love David. David was not a nice person. He was a murderer. He was a liar. He was, well, you know. But God loved this man because he loved God so much. And David, perhaps he's down in Psalm 19, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the word of his hand. Day after day, they praise. And that's what we are to do. Praise gives indication of a divine encounter. The shepherds met the Son of the living God. And they praise. Verse 17 of chapter 2 says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what have been told them about this child. My friends, when we have a personal relationship with God, we should be excited. You know, if there is no praise or joy in the life of Christians, why will others want the Christian experience conversion? I don't want to be miserable at that person. But when they see the joy, regardless of the circumstances, they say, I want to know what's going on. And praise is an indication of a divine encounter. I love the expression of Jesus when Jesus told Thomas. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, okay, you believe because you have seen me, like the shepherd. He says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Who are those? Us. And the word blessed means supremely happy. So you are supposed to be supremely happy then. That's what Jesus says. Praise develops our own faith, my friends. You know, when something happened to you, maybe you have noticed by now, if something happened to me, I just share it. If you have something in your life and you don't share it, what happened? It will wither and disappear. But when we share, it grows. So share it. You know, one of the quotes of Rockefeller was that we are to give. And that's what he did. He keep on giving and he keep receiving more. You know, it's wonderful. If you check the story, okay, he started like David, not a nice person, and suddenly, you know, he was blessed and blessed other people. If we share, we are going to increase our joy. Dr. John Dyer wrote this. He says, the person who grows spiritually, the person who goes on to know God in a deep and intimate way, is the one who can affirm that God is good, even though there may be many or hundreds of appearances to be the contrary. Praise develops our own faith. God is good. All the time. The person who grows spiritually is the person who goes on to know God in a deep and intimate way because he knows or she knows that he is good. My friends, as I conclude this morning, Luke is an easy book to read. Read it this Christmas. Very easy to read. And reveal the universality of Christianity. And why I say that? Because we see that in the words of Simeon's song, but let me read some of the last verses, you know, the last verses of in Luke chapter 24, verse 47. Just in the beginning, he gave this statement about the angel. Now, as he concludes the book, he says, that baby, the Messiah, will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. This is what we are called to do. This is what we do in Penrall Baptist Church in Bangor, North Wales, in 2019. That the Messiah came to suffer, and repentance in forgiveness of sin will be preached. Not a nice God, powerful, merciful, and loving God. My friend, this Christmas, whatever is your journey, let's learn from Zechariah and Elizabeth. Don't give up on prayer. Keep on praying. He's preparing something beautiful for you. Let's learn from Joseph and Mary. Build your life on the foundation of faith. Nothing is impossible for God. Do you believe that? It can change your situation, your life, your heart. And finally, live a life committed to the praise principle. Praise. Praise the Lord. My friends, in the same book of Luke, we have that Jesus wept as he entered into Jerusalem because they didn't recognize what he was bringing. This Christmas, don't do that. Have you refused to hear God's gracious invitations to your heart? It is not too late for us if we will but fully and completely open ourselves up to Him and respond in obedience. Like Mary, hear the servant of the Lord. He wants to bless your life. He wants to change it because He loves you. And praise His name. We are going to finish this morning singing praise to the Lord. The shorter Westminster Catechism asks the question, what is the chief aim of man? The answer is, the chief aim of man is to glorify, to praise God and enjoy Him forever. Let's come to the Lord in prayer before the musicians comes to lead us into with the last thing. Let us pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the miracles of Christmas. And thank you for the greatest miracle that you can change our heart. Thank you that you change the shepherd's heart. Thank you that you change Zachariah's heart. Thank you. Thank you for the faith of Mary and Joseph. And help us, Lord, never to give up on prayer. In prayer, never to doubt, just to trust in you, and help us to live a life of praise for your glory. Amen.